All right, episode 2 of Brick House. Welcome back. Podcasting veteran Matt Baker by my side of This Feels One-Sided. Welcome back, Matt.
Bringing stability to the podcast land.
Crazy rookie shooting threes going off the backboard, side of the backboard. Voice you're hearing now is Bob Johnson.
Yeah, you need to get that under control.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, that's how this brick house was built, mm-hmm. Those errant shots.
Right.
You make enough bricks every day, you could build a whole city, Matt.
That's right.
That's what we're doing here at Brick House. Second episode. Thanks for tuning back in. Who's the team we have today, Matt? Who's the second worst team? The worst team in the Western Conference.
Worst team in the Western Conference. Second worst team overall would be the Denver Nuggets.
Denver Nuggets. The storyline that I think of, the only thing I think of when I think of the Denver Nuggets, this is, has like a dude, where's my car feel to it as a team.
Okay.
They're lost. They woke up and marijuana is legal and they have a team with Kenneth Faried possibly as their best player.
Right.
They've got Gallinari. Basically, they have the 2011 Knicks still as the core of their team. Their point guard got 3 DUIs and got traded to the Houston Rockets. And they're just Ashton Kutcher looking for a place to get high and figure out where it all went wrong.
They're looking for their car.
Where is their car? Where is my franchise?
Previously on the Denver Nuggets.
Let's see. Where did it all go wrong for these guys? I think
I can tell you where it all went wrong.
Oh, please do.
Can I jump in?
Please.
After the 2012-2013 season, they had just won 57 games in the West. Now, winning 57 games in the West in 2013 is great.
Was that a franchise record for wins, Matt?
You know what? That might have been a franchise record there, Bob. And not only that, they had George Karl, who was Coach of the Year. And they also had the Executive of the Year, Masai Ujiri. Did I say that correctly?
I think you did.
So they had the Executive of the Year, Coach of the Year, and then they entered the next season with neither of them.
Right.
They fired George Karl.
Yeah, winning Coach of the Year and having a franchise record and wins, that's not good enough for the Denver Nuggets.
They let the Executive go to the Toronto Raptors.
Where he proceeded to cuss out the city of Brooklyn.
Yeah, he has no fear of that one. They hired Brian Shaw
of Phil Jackson triangle tutelage.
Yeah, and that became their team.
Who's that owner?
Dan Kroenke's that owner, Bob.
You know, one thing that I thought, you know, as you were describing how they had a franchise best season, they made the playoffs, they had the coach and the executive of the year and decided that wasn't good enough. I found an interesting article about when Kroenke and a business partner bought a vineyard together.
Okay.
In Screaming Eagle Vineyard in Napa Valley. They bought this place, and they were not happy with the Cabernet Sauvignon, Matt.
Oh, man, you got to be happy with that, Bob.
They were not happy. It wasn't up to their standards.
It's high standards.
Rather than sell it, they poured out 550 cases of this wine. $3.3 million in value of wine down the drain. To quote the partner, Charles Bank, it was a tough decision to make, but it was the right decision. Nothing is worse than not delivering on a promise.
Okay. Which is, I guess, a very noble...
You would think that from the quote, there might be some motivation beyond pure profits for the owners, but you would be wrong, Matt. because the value of the remaining wine did increase tremendously because of this dump. They sold the remaining wine for a much larger...
Because it was limited now.
It's limited and, you know, set it a nice precedent for their... for their brand going
further. So if they're dumping out $3 million of bad stuff, the stuff they kept has got to be good stuff.
Right, right. And you would think that the same analogy would apply to the Denver Nuggets, but what they kept is not that good. He bought the Pepsi Center in 2000. When he's actually in Colorado, he stays in a 12,000-square-foot penthouse that is inside the Pepsi Center.
And now, the starting lineup for your Denver Nuggets!
Emmanuel Mudiay, the rookie. I think with these teams down near the bottom of the league, I think the interesting players are always the rookies, obviously. The reason Ty Lawson was so expendable, other than the two DUIs in 6 months, which is a very serious thing, is they drafted Mudiay. They have Jameer Nelson, who's been around forever and is a good, solid NBA point guard. But if you're the Denver Nuggets and you're not going to be very good, you just run Mudiay out there and you just let him develop. I would say you'd do the same with Gary Harris, who they drafted in 2014, the shooting guard. I would say you just run those two out there and play them as your backcourt. You might as well just let them grow and see what you have. And then they also have the 8,000-pound monster in the center there, Yusuf Nurkic.
Yeah, I'm excited about Yusuf.
He's over 300 pounds, and he had never played basketball. Oh, it says he's 280, but he's got to be over 300.
Oh yeah.
And he said he never played basketball, and a scout. I mean, are we going to get into this? Is this going to come up here?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, this is directly from Yusuf Nurkic's fan page, if I may, Matt.
You may, go for it.
Yusuf Nurkic's father was a policeman in Tuzla, Bosnia and Herzegovina. One day, a Bosnian sports agent, Inez Ternovchev, was reading a newspaper where he read, quote, "Bosnian policeman Hariz Nurkic has beaten 14 people in a fight." He knew what to do instantly. Next day, he went to Tuzla and met with Nurkic's father. The only thing he asked him was, "Do you have a son?"
So the father beat up 14 people in a fight. And
his father is a 7-foot, 400-pound Bosnian police riot police officer.
Amazing. So obviously, the only question is, do you have a son?
Obviously.
How do I sign him to play basketball?
At the time, Yusuf was only 14 years old and had never played basketball.
Of course, why would he have?
But this agent knew that he would take him to Slovenia and give him the opportunity and make him the greatest Bosnian son of a riot police officer the basketball world has ever seen. Matt.
I think he might have done that already. I think we're there.
We are there. After a rookie year of Yusuf Nurkic cursing in Bosnian during NBA games.
He knocked over Markieff Morris while shooting basically a hook shot, grabbed the ball and set it ever so gently on Markieff Morris's chest. Another time he hit like some weird fadeaway getting pushed over jumper by the Kings DeMarcus Cousins, made it, and then ran back and was like barking at Cousins the whole time.
You're not afraid of anyone if you're the son of a 400-pound Bosnian riot police officer.
Yeah, so he has no fear. He is getting after the NBA, and he might as well start. He might as well be the go-to man in the middle on this team.
He is the go-to man in the middle, and he's apparently the go-to man for his teammates avoiding technicals. Because, you know, if you, yell the F-bomb in the middle of an NBA game, you're going to get a technical if the referee hears it.
Yeah, but if you yell it in Bosnian...
If you curse in the Bosnian, the refs have no idea what you're talking about. And apparently, you know, his teammates have been learning these curse words from him because he says them in the games, he says them in practice. And, you know, in the first episode of Brickhouse, Matt, I promised our listeners I'd teach them a few Bosnian curse words.
Oh, you did.
You know, what I imagine he says when he's, either dunking or not getting a foul call that I think he really thinks he deserves.
I'm really cringing here. I don't know what's coming. Don't know what's coming up.
I think what he says is Jebise, Jebise. That's what he's yelling as he's dunking. Jebise. You know what that means, Matt? It means go fuck yourself.
Okay, there it is. I did not know that. That's what it was.
Yep. That's Jebise.
It'd be really weird if I did know what you were saying, because that means I would know Bosnian.
Well, you know, the website that showed me the Bosnian curse phrases had some strange ones. You know, go fuck yourself, I'm familiar with as an American sort of turn of phrase.
Yeah, that's one of those phrases that people say that has lost all meaning now.
Yeah, yeah. It might as well be, hi, hello, how are you?
Right, exactly.
And especially in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, some of the other sayings, I don't know how common they are in Bosnian, but...
probably not common here, but...
Our listeners want to know. Jebem ti kolak, for example, means, I will fuck your cake.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's only sweet pastries or also applies to savory, or maybe there's a different word for that.
I guess if you're angry enough, it'll just apply to any cake.
Even stranger, on the same Bosnian site...
goodness. I don't know what you're going to say, and I'm very nervous.
Na karakte nabijem.
Wait. Okay. Oh, okay.
Na karakte nabijem means, on my dick, I put you.
Yeah.
It's
not only offensive, it's just poor English. It's
record prediction.
21 wins.
21. Fair. Fair.
Which will be 9 less wins. But some things
so
that...
be 21 and 61?
Yeah, some things that concern me about that prediction. How good Moutier is. How good Gallinari is. And just those two. Because if Gallinari is hitting shots and kind of playing out of his mind, and Moutier shows that he might be the best point guard in the draft... they might be a little better than 21 wins, but I'm giving them 21 wins.
You know, I was nervous about only giving them 18 wins until you started pinning their hopes on Gallinari playing well.
Okay, fair enough.
Now I'm much more confident that I will be right, and they
I
will
just,
be
like,
the worst
things
team
in perspective
in
for
the
you.
Western Conference.
Yeah.
So my prediction for the Nuggets this year is 18 and 64, which would be 12 wins. What the fuck has anything got to do with LeBron James? I took Apple Music up on their 3 free months.
Okay.
You know, have you done this, Matt?
I have not. I don't want Taylor Swift knocking at my door.
Matt, you read my mind, because... today, I'd like to explain to our listeners why LeBron James is exactly like Taylor Swift.
Is that really? Wow, look at that. We're one brain here.
Well, you see, with the Apple Music, the first 3 months of the trial of any streaming music on iTunes is free.
Right.
I mean, you have to agree 5 or 6 times in writing that the second this trial period ends, they're going to start charging you for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
But for those 3 months, you can listen to anything
you just have
for free.
Full go. Yeah.
You know, this is a new development. They bought Dr. Dre's streaming music site that he was about to launch, Beats for a record $3 billion. And what they wanted to do is offer it for free to all the consumers. And what they asked musicians to do is, for this trial period, before they're charging customers, that the musicians also do them a solid and not get paid either.
Yeah, which is very convenient. Hey, just do us a solid and not get paid.
You know who didn't like this? Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift.
She didn't like it with Apple. She didn't like it with Spotify. She didn't like it with Pandora. And the reason I say she's like LeBron James is because she draws so much water in this industry that she has to stand up for all the other guys. Because no one cares if, you know, Maroon 5... has a boycott of Apple Music.
Right.
Or
right.
Even, you know, U2.
Yeah.
But Taylor Swift, we can't live without. I mean, this is 2015.
Of course. I can't live without her.
Yeah.
Just because I don't want her knocking on my door doesn't mean I want her out of my life.
No.
Yeah.
No. I mean, I can't think of her singles now, but people like them.
Of
the
course.
Haters Gonna Hate song.
Yeah.
Classic. I mean, that's how I get through my day.
Yeah.
LeBron realized his folly by taking less money in Miami.
Uh-huh.
He was setting a precedent for other players by saying, hey, I'm the greatest player, mm-hmm. and I'm willing to take less money to win. But when, in fact, what he should be doing is changing the game.
Mm-hmm.
He should be changing the salary cap, like no limit. He should be getting paid as much as he is possibly get to set a precedent for all those other NBA basketball players out there.
Right.
Because the best thing that he could do for them is to take as much money as humanly possible.
Because then everyone else by default will make more.
LeBron James and Taylor Swift are so greedy, they're altruistic.
And now it's time for A Personal Anecdote with Matt Baker.
For those of you who don't know Matt like I do, you might not know that he rarely curses.
Yeah.
In fact, while I was saying, you know, go fuck yourself, he was visibly cringing.
I didn't know it was coming. It's not that I didn't trust you. I just, you know.
A few years ago, Matt and I spent about an hour in a car together, and we were talking about high school sports, and he told me this long story about this football game. It was really tough game, and it was so intense that I think he said the word shit twice that day.
Is this a story?
This was a story. I'll fill you in on your life in high school.
I'll go with it.
We were working together, and we were driving back from work together, and this was very vivid because this is the day.
We would have taken an hour long car ride up to Santa Clarita.
Yeah, this is the day that I'll never forget that Matt told me about the time he said a 4-letter word.
I don't remember this story, but
yeah. Well, this was high school, so
I was a different person.
Mateo.
Yeah, Mateo.
Since high school, Matt, I'm wondering if you have cursed, and if you have, you know, what was the last time you cursed, and what were the circumstances?
What was the circumstance? That's a good question, because I always tell people when I tore my ACL, I said every word I ever knew, ever, like multiple times.
Jeez.
Every word. No, every word.
Darn it.
No, curse words and non-curse
Heck.
Words. I mean, I said every word I knew.
Stupendous.
Yes, exactly. It was very weird.
On the next episode of Brick House.
We're going to teach you how to curse in 30 different... No, we're not going to do... We're not going to do any more of that. The next episode, though, is going to involve a team that made a lot of money last season, despite not winning a lot of games. In fact, the next two teams are from some pretty big markets, and both of the owners really remind me of the movie Tommy Boy. Let's see which owner is more closer to Chris Farley's character. That's all. That's all from the Denver Nuggets. Je sais.